This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Political reporter Bob Gibson joins us from the Charlottesville Daily Progress. That must mean it's Monday. Happy Monday, Bob.
Oh, thanks.
How are you doing?
Doing great. Just drove in from Richmond. It is cold out there.
Yeah,
and windy.
Mighty cold.
Very windy.
Were you nervous on your wedding day?
No.
You weren't nervous? You didn't get nervous? Where'd you get married?
At Bruton Parish in Williamsburg.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, right by the Alumni Hall next to the stadium?
No, this is down...
Oh, Bruton Parish on Dog Street.
Yeah, Dog Street.
I was thinking of St. Pete's.
Duke
yeah.
of Gloucester.
Yeah, there you go. That's wonderful. You're just back from Richmond, and what's the very latest? You've been watching the General Assembly today.
Well, they decided they're playing a little game of chicken with each other on transportation bills. The Senate put off transportation bills today for tomorrow, which is the last day it can act on its own bills. And the House did the same thing. They just wrapped up every transportation bill and said, we'll talk about these tomorrow.
The very last day before
crossover. Yeah, which... crossover is the end of tomorrow. Today and tomorrow are two of the longest days in the legislative year because as of this morning, they had more than 1,100 bills that they had not yet disposed of in the House of Origin.
Oh, my gosh.
By tomorrow night, those bills have to be over in the other House.
1,100 bills.
So they are going through long, long days.
So as of tomorrow night, they have to be done. And then on Wednesday, the Senate bills go to the House. And
Wednesday,
the House bills go to
the Senate starts hearing the House bills and the House starts hearing the Senate bills.
And is that when they go into these, they set up these committees?
So there will be a lot of conference committees.
Yeah.
If one House passes a bill and the other House passes a different version of the same bill. For example, the slavery apology resolution, which is now no longer an apology. In the House, it's an expression of profound regret. In the Senate, it's an expression of contrition. They're two different resolutions. That will go to a committee on conference.
Uh-huh.
Committee of conference.
How do you think that's going to turn out?
I think they'll come up with some mutually acceptable language that won't be an apology and that will express regret for slavery and what's happened with African Americans who were brought here involuntarily hundreds of years ago.
Do you get a sense that the Democrats are okay with saying with using the sorry word and the Republicans are not? Is it?
Yeah, I think the Democrats would have been more apt to pass the apology, and Republicans worried that apology went too far because, a lot of people don't feel that they personally had anything to do with slavery since it happened more than 140 years ago, and, b, they don't want to open the door in any way, even though this bill wouldn't do that. They don't want to open the door to reparations.
Right. Which the original language of the original bill actually said that you apologize and atone.
Yeah, it
which would definitely open the door towards reparations.
Well, the sponsor said no, but there was enough question about it that the language was taken out.
So the atonement part was taken out and the sorry was taken out and in the House at least what was left was
an expression of profound regret and actually some fairly interesting language about how slavery happened and what's happened since slavery that has disadvantaged African Americans.
Interesting. That's pretty interesting. And that's a big step for conservative
is.
Virginia.
It's a major step for this state. Very few places have seen apologies for slavery, and this isn't quite one, but it amounts to the same thing.
Yeah. Bob Gibson, political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, is our guest. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 977-1070. Let's talk about the DNA data bank first. That you had an article about that towards the end of last week, and that's all good to go. And what's interesting,
that's
of course,
going
is,
through unanimously in the House.
Right. What's really most interesting is this bill, which has national implications, originated right here in Charlottesville. And I shouldn't say the bill has national implications, but the subject is really resounding and echoing across the country.
Well, we've had a very public case, the serial rapist, that's been going on for more than 7 years in Charlottesville. And the police have been frustrated because they've been attempting to search DNA records on what is supposed to be in the state DNA database, which is every convicted felon's DNA all the way back to 1990, to see if they can get a cold hit and solve this case. Chip Harding said when it came down to he's a police captain in Charlottesville, said when he came down to Richmond to testify for the bill that he believed there's a 1 in 5 chance that this person's already been arrested, has already given his DNA, and they haven't been able to get a cold hit on this person, perhaps because there are 8,000 or more DNA samples missing from the database.
It just because of screw-ups? Because
they don't know why. Some people didn't take the samples. Some people said, I was arrested, and I was convicted, and nobody ever came to me for a sample. And other people said, I gave a sample three times, and it was just never recorded. And then they did a survey, and of this, the numbers of cases surveyed in the thousands, they found that as many as 20% or so were just misidentified. They were entry data entry problems.
Gosh, that is amazing. So this bill...
It's a pretty high mess-up rate, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, thousands upon thousands of felons. So this bill creates a protocol that says, okay, this is exactly how we're going to do it.
Right, and it makes sure that there are no more cases that are missed, and then it goes back and tries to collect the DNA from those people for whom it's not on file and should be on file.
Bob Gibson is our guest. The phone number is 977-1070. What is the very latest on transportation? If they've pushed it all off until tomorrow, what exactly have they pushed off until tomorrow?
Well, the Senate and the House, as usual, have very different ideas about what should be done for transportation. The Senate has adopted, or is preparing to adopt, the Senate Committee, Finance Committee has adopted Senator John Chichester's measure, which would put an excise tax of 5 cents, a sales tax on gasoline. That's about 10 cents a gallon at current prices. And on top of the 17.5 cents a gallon that Virginia has as its state gas tax, the lowest in the region. So it would, theoretically, it could amount to 27, 28 cents a gallon total tax. It won't be adopted, though, because the House of Delegates wants to not have a statewide tax increase, but rather have tax increases at the regional level. Now, the regional tax increases are incorporated in the Senate bill as well. The Senate bill has everything that the House bill has, except it doesn't borrow the $250 million a year from the state's general fund, which funds education and health and other programs. The Senate says, let's just, you know, bite the bullet, pass the tax statewide on gasoline, add 10 cents roughly to the gallon, and pay for our roads that way. The House says, no, we don't want a statewide tax increase.
Now, the big question, of course, politically, is this going to be a problem for Chichester? You think he'll face opposition this year in the primary? Is somebody going to run to the right of Chichester? He's been there for a long time, very popular, extremely powerful.
They tried that 4 years ago, and he didn't do very well. His opponent didn't do very well challenging him from the right in a Republican primary. Presumably, the primary rule might change a little bit this year because there's been some a lawsuit filed by one of the conservative state senators to try to get the party primary more under the control of the party rather than just open to any voter. So we don't yet know whether John Chichester, A, is going to have a Republican opponent this spring from the right, or B, exactly what the method of nomination is going to be yet.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us in studio. You had some commentary yesterday in the Progress titled, an article titled, Judging Who's Next to Judge. And this it's not really a race, but this issue is getting very, very interesting.
Well, it is a race. I mean, there are individuals running for judge, and the legislature is going to have an election. So someone is going to win the election in the House and the Senate. And if it's the same person who wins in each body, then that person will be the next circuit judge for Albemarle County, which is a very powerful position and is an 8-year appointment. So, you know, there's a lot riding on who is chosen as Albemarle's next circuit judge.
And Paul Petros, who had this judgeship before, who's retiring, he was there for a long time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And he was a lower court judge in the general district court before that. So he retires with 20, 25 years.
So explain the process, how it's been whittled down to, it looks like it's whittled down to Cheryl Higgins or Jim Kemblos.
You can't say that for sure because the people who are going to make the choice haven't made that public. But that apparently is what it has boiled down to. You know, there are a couple of delegates, Bill Janis and Steve Landis, who support Jim Kemblos, who's the elected Republican Commonwealth's attorney for Albemarle. And then there are other delegates and senators who aren't saying who they support. And a couple of them are believed to be leaning toward the camp of Cheryl Higgins, who was the candidate, one of two, rated highly qualified by the Charlottesville Albemarle Bar Association. So if the bar's choice has any relevance in the final process, and that's not clear yet because it's very political and it's in Richmond and they're not talking, then Cheryl Higgins might have a leg up on Jim Camblos. But if it's purely political, then Jim Camblos may have a leg up.
What's the attraction for that you can gauge? What's the attraction on Landis's part and on Janice's part for Camblos?
They know him better. When he was a UVA law student, Bill Janice was an intern in Albemarle County Commonwealth Attorney Jim Camblos's office.
Uh-huh.
So he worked for Jim Camblos, and now he's his sort of prime sponsor for this judgeship.
But there is, you write in your commentary, and certainly I've been aware of this, and if you read civilnews.com, you're very aware of this, that there's a lot of folks out there, some detractors, who feel like, let's have anybody on that bench except Camblos, anybody but Camblos.
That is true, and there's a lot of input going from the public to these legislators who are going to make this choice, and they're saying Jim Camblos is not the right, he doesn't have a judicial temperament is basically what they're saying. They're not saying he's not qualified, they're saying he doesn't have the right temperament to be a judge. So they're getting a lot of this reaction from the public, and then they're getting other reaction in support of various candidates, including Cheryl Higgins, and in support of Jim Camblos. It's not at all clear how this thing's going to shake out.
And Camblos did not receive an endorsement from really any group, did he? None of the bar associations or any of the local
bar associations didn't. But in his defense, the people who look at the bar endorsements and find them less than convincing say that the bars don't give prosecutors a fair shake because they don't really rate prosecutors the way they rate defense attorneys.
Huh.
And the bar has more defense attorneys than it has prosecutors. Three of the seven candidates for this are prosecutors, and a fourth, Cheryl Higgins, is a former prosecutor. So people, you know, are looking at prosecutors as qualified candidates. The bar didn't rate any of the prosecutors as highly qualified. They rated a sitting general district court judge, Bob Downer, from Charlottesville, as highly qualified, and they rated Cheryl Higgins, who's now in private practice in Charlottesville, as highly qualified.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you have an opinion about the next circuit judge here in our area, we'd love to hear from you at 977-1070. I got one question for you. Do you think that this judgeship should go to Jim Camblos? Because, Bob, the political winds are blowing in his favor, put it that way. Is that accurate?
Well, they might be. Cheryl Higgins is a Republican as well, and this Republican-dominated legislature is going to choose, all other things equal, they're going to take a Republican over a Democrat. But all other things aren't equal at this stage. You know, we're in the what I call the quiet phase of this process.
What's the timeline?
Last Thursday was the last day on the bench for Mac Petras. Paul Petras retired as of last Thursday. Last Thursday, they certified the vacancy. So right now, until they choose a new judge who, you know, take a couple months to get on the bench, you know, wrap up his or her legal practice, they'll have, as they have many times in the last several years, other retired judges coming in to hear Mac Petras's cases.
Okay. And then they'll make the final decision will be later this month? The General Assembly
has this month, right. They have to do it before they go out on the 24th of February. So sometime in the next 3 weeks, they're going to get together and they're going to meet and they're going to, hopefully, the 12 who represent parts of the 16th Judicial Circuit are going to agree on a consensus candidate. It'll probably be either Cheryl Higgins or Jim Camblos.
Caller, welcome to the program. What's your first name?
Yeah, George.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Bob, whether he thinks that the whole flap in Albemarle over the school bombing fiasco is going to hurt Camblos, and I'll express the opinion. I certainly hope it does.
I think it does hurt Jim Camblos. I think people saw that case, and they saw the police and the prosecutor come out and make a very strong statement about the seriousness of these crimes and the type of case they had against the youngsters who were arrested. And then when they went to trial and acquittals resulted, that evidence didn't seem to be there, and the cases weren't as tight as they seemed to have said they would be.
Yeah, it's not quite Nifong, but hey, Jim, it's close enough so you're going to live to regret it. That's my answer to him.
Well, you know, Bill Janice, who's his chief supporter in the General Assembly, is saying, ah, prosecutors, there's always somebody who's in first place in these races, and every other candidate tries to tear them down. But I think you're right, George. I think a lot of people have questions about some of the cases that Prosecutor Jim Camblos has handled over the last 12 years, and those may stack up against him.
And, George, don't leave us, but isn't it somewhat, when you get a judgeship, isn't it, for a prosecutor, it's sort of like recognizing, it's a promotion, and there's a lot of folks in the community here.
Oh, it's more than a promotion. They're two very different jobs.
Yeah, if you believe that, then you believe Rudy Giuliani's qualified, and as a New Yorker, I could really tell you stuff about him you wouldn't want to hear.
Yeah, they're very different jobs, and being mayor of New York City and president of the U.S., as George is implying, those are two very different jobs, too.
But it's an act on the part of the state legislature to say, hey, this guy's doing a great job, let's give him more power, right?
Could be a mistake.
You know, I think you look at the candidate for all of their qualifications, and judicial temperament has to be one of those qualifications. It's a major qualification.
George, let me hear your thoughts on why is it you think Jim Camblos isn't the right man for this job?
Well, he's made a lot of decisions, and some, such as the woman who shot the guy dead on her front porch and didn't wait until he broke in, I agreed 100%. I mean, that element in Virginia law is stupid. But on the other hand, I think he totally mishandled what is really a pretty delicate thing regarding those two youngsters. And in my opinion, rather clearly at the time, a couple of kids who were just blowing off steam.
George, there are a lot of people in this community who agree with you on that one.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, George. Thanks so much for the call. Look forward to hearing from you again. That's George in Fluvanna. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 977-1070. The phone lines are open. So, but even though there's a lot of folks in this community, and I've certainly heard from them, who would love to see anybody in that judgeship except Jim Camblos for the things that he's done here in the community for years, which many folks feel is poor judgment, in their opinion. When it gets right down to it, and as you say in your article yesterday, this is going to be a political decision.
It is,
in Richmond.
But it's not a promotion. I mean, they're two very, very different jobs. Being a prosecutor, being a prosecuting attorney is one thing. Sitting as a judge in judgment in civil cases and criminal cases, very different job and perhaps very different qualifications.
And Cheryl Higgins has been doing what?
She has been a prosecutor in a couple of jurisdictions, including in Albemarle under Jim Camblos, and she's also been in private practice. So she has a pretty wide breadth of experience that the Bar Association took a look at and said, you know, we find her highly qualified as well as Judge Downer.
Do we know right now where Rob Bell or David Toscano are on this, and is their opinion matter much in this mix?
Their opinion does matter, especially Rob Bell's, and they're not saying.
Interesting. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you, sir. Anything else going on that we need to know about?
Well, if you like red light cameras, they passed that today in the House of Delegates.
So,
red light at photo red at intersections is
statewide.
Statewide, a local option, apparently coming back in Virginia.
Wow, because it was tried experimentally in some places,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was tried experimentally
and then that expired.
In Northern Virginia and in Tidewater, you know, the urban Virginia Beach area.
Yeah.
And the localities liked it, but it was sunset, and they didn't reauthorize it in Richmond, but now there's a big push for it in Northern Virginia, a big push in Chesapeake and Virginia Beach, and it's coming back.
It's coming back. So we could see it here.
If Charlottesville and Albemarle want it, there are certain qualifications that each intersection has to be studied for, but they know that Rio and 29 would qualify.
So perhaps coming to a Route 29 near you.
A little red
light cameras.
A little photo red camera, perhaps.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.